We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Lock Dog, there are shots fired, my brother.
Shots.
Shots fired. I know when we first saw this tweet from former Houston Texans wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins, we looked at each other like, huh, what's the 24 mean? What's a zero mean? What in the hell? Wait, what's going on here? After a few minutes of deep diving, Lock Dog looks over at me and he says, read that tweet again. I said, this is a tweet from DeAndre Hopkins. 24 reasons why Mahomes deserves that, period. Zero doubts he will win more Super Bowls. I still didn't pick up on it.
24-0.
I still didn't pick up on it until Lock Dog said that. 24-0. That might be the shot of all shots on social media. I did not understand it immediately. And boy, has it exploded on social media at this point in time.
Going back to the second week of January, Houston Texans at Kansas City against the Chiefs. Titans had upset the Ravens, which meant the path was clear for the Houston Texans to host the AFC Championship game against the old Oilers. 24-0 was the score before all hell broke loose, and it ended up being 51-31. DeAndre Hopkins, a lot of people say it is shots at the Texans, but I also think it could be a shot at himself, because I imagine that DeAndre Hopkins still is sick to his stomach at what happened. I saw some people saying, well, he acts like he wasn't a part of it. I think he's just poking fun at himself and kind of tipping the cap to Mahomes.
Yeah, I mean, I can see where it may be involving himself in the collapse right there, where it's more of hey, man, you came back versus our team from a 24-0 deficit, and so I personally have witnessed and I understand why you're worth that kind of money. But look here, Lock Dog, there is damn sure no way that Texans Nation is gonna sit well with them. And I'm gonna tell you, man, if I were Deshaun Watson, I would have a hard time not looking at that and going, damn, that hurts right there.
We're pissed off.
That hurts. Like that's a punch to the kidney any way that you slice it. And you know the media is going to take this thing and twist it six ways to Sunday before you and I get home this evening.
I haven't even gotten in the lab yet. I'm going to have to do that my damn self, to be honest with you.
Nobody better than Lock Dog, that's for damn sure. But again, DeAndre Hopkins takes a massive shot at Lock Dog. Thinks that it may be at himself as well, but definitely the Houston Texans collapse versus the Kansas City Chiefs last year in the playoffs. An hour ago, he tweeted 24 reasons why Mahomes deserves that. Zero doubts he'll win more Super Bowls.
The problem is, though, and the thing about Nuke is that a lot of people are on his side in this. So normally Texans fans, there are a lot of Texans fans who are going to side with Nuke over the current state of the Texans.
Yeah.
But you talk about opportunities and you talk about year-to-year league. Man, it's hard for me to imagine the Texans getting as many breaks ever again as they got this last year. I mean, you have Andrew Luck retire. I mean, that's kind of a break, I would say, when the Colts were the popular pick. You have the Titans upset the Ravens, a team that beat you 41-7, so you would have gotten to host the playoff game. Chris Jones is out for the Chiefs in the AFC.
Brady's out of the playoffs. You don't have to worry about him.
And you blow a 24-0 lead.
This one's going to
sting
hands you
forever.
Some Christmas presents. Yeah, no, that one definitely is going to hurt. And Hop throwing a little hot sauce on the topic. Deshaun Watson joined Carmelo Anthony on his What's in Your Glass? Is that the right?
What's in Your Glass?
I thought that's pretty creative. I like that. I like that. He gave a cheers before they started. But there were some things that, and you and I talked about it a little bit earlier. We'll hit it again later in the show. But there were some things that Deshaun Watson said and did. I think overall, after I listened to it, Lock Dog, I felt like I walked away a lot like I walked away from Correa's comments Friday, is feeling like both of these young fellas, obviously they're extreme talents. You know what they're franchise type of players. They're guys you build around, no doubt about it. But when I heard them speak, I walked away going, these cats are taking the bull by the horns. They're growing up right before our eyes. Well, there's a couple of things that also stuck in my mind when I heard Deshaun Watson, and I want to share them with you. This is Deshaun Watson here.
Do you find it uncomfortable for those owners to be able to talk about that and to discuss it with the players or not?
I think it's going to be uncomfortable. I personally haven't talked to our owner. I talked to the head coach. I talked to Jack Easterby. I talked to the main guys that deal with the players and deal with the front office. But I personally haven't talked to the owner. But I know whenever we report the camp, everybody in that locker room is expecting the owner on day one to come talk to us and communicate with us, ask us questions, let them know that, hey, he's there supporting us. He's supporting his players. If not, then it's going to be some issues for sure.
When I hear that, I go, hey, man, that's a quarterback growing up and feeling comfortable in his own skin and what he's done, the respect he's earned in the organization to openly talk about the owner. And more specifically, talk about the owner and how he's going to handle racial injustice in the country and the Texans stand and how he's going to address the players in that situation. Those are tough things to talk about, Lock Dog. So, that's a leader doing that. That's a guy growing up right in front of our eyes. But I couldn't help myself after I heard that cut right there. I said, you mean to tell me that Cal McNair has sat down with our guy, Travis Johnson, Trap, He's sat down on
Netflix
camera.
And chill.
There you go. He sat down with Trap on camera. He sat down with Romeo Crennel, I believe, on camera, and talked about these different race relations and the social injustice in our country and how the team's going to move forward. And I couldn't help but hear Deshaun Watson emphasize two times in that cut right there that he has not talked to Cal McNair. What am I missing here that the owner of the Houston Texans hasn't spoke to his quarterback, the leader of his franchise, the face of his franchise, who happens to be a black dude and would be the face of whatever stance the Texans take moving forward? You would think he would be the face of it. What am I missing here, Locke?
The one thing I would say is I think Cal's actions have spoken very loudly, and I think they've been out in the forefront.
Sure.
I think he's one of the only owners who's spoken out. Bill O'Brien's done a good job as the face. So I would say that. It was kind of interesting that Cal hasn't talked to Deshaun. I expect Cal to meet with the team, and I think he will. But I also think it's kind of just a representation of Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby being the guys that Cal McNair trusts to handle the players and handle those situations. So I think Cal's actions, probably Deshaun probably feels good about it, but I think he's just waiting to talk to him, and I think Cal's going to talk to him.
Like,
there's no doubt.
I would have lost a grip. I would have usually show Ron the show Ugly's the one going, oh, I'm sure they consulted. And I'm going, no,
yeah.
I'm telling you, this deal here, I would have lost a good chunk of money.
Yeah.
If somebody had said, do you think that Cal McNair has spoken to Deshaun Watson? I'd have said no doubt about it. But apparently he
it's interesting.
Hasn't. He hasn't. It's interesting.
Red 22.
Later on in that same podcast with Carmelo Anthony, Deshaun Watson talked about, his go-to teammates, the guys that he respects, the guys that he calls on. And this is Deshaun Watson talking about those specific teammates.
One of my teammates, he's with Tennessee now, Jonathan Joseph, 15-year vet, corner. I mean, I talked to him. I used to talk to him when he was with us every day, chop it up every day. Even now, I know he's still living in Houston, so I go over to his crib. We chop it up. Tyron Matthew, that's my brother. Love him to death. D-Hop, who else? I would say K-Jack, Bruce Ellerton, Kenny Stills.
Huh. All but one gun.
All but one gun, right? I mean, when I look at it, four of those guys ain't even on a team no more.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't help but recognize and notice that J.J. Watt was not mentioned in that cut. Any takeaways from the fact that J.J. Watt was left off the list?
Deshaun and J.J. don't strike me as guys that would kick it off the field. I think they got different vibes to them. So I could see that. I could see him gravitating more towards J.J. and more towards Nuke and Kenny and them. So I didn't read too much into it. I did read, though, however, into the fact that not only were all but one of those guys no longer on the team, most of them could still be. Like, Kareem Jackson could still be here, and it would make a lot of sense. Like, right. Jonathan Joseph, I don't even know if they've really upgraded a corner there. Who knows? Matthew got paid, so I can understand that. And we all know about the DeAndre Hopkins thing. That's kind of like they've not only gotten rid of his buddies, they've gotten rid of his buddies in controversial fashion.
Yeah, it's been ugly. When I heard it, I thought, damn, no JJ, nobody on the team. I think he did go on and talk about Kenny Steeles, and he went on and talked about Will Fuller later on in that. So he does have somebody's on the offensive side of the football and guys that are still in the organization. But I thought for sure that J.J. Watt would have been in that mix.
Blue 80, easy. White 90.
Lock Dog, it's getting interesting in the NFL with this preseason games. I've said from the jump, man, that I don't think that I don't think it would be a stretch to think that the NFL and the NFLPA would figure out a way to cancel all preseason games. I thought buying a couple of more weeks, really a month. If you get to talk about the Hall of Fame game, it's really 5 weeks. If you buy 5 weeks for the NFL to figure out how they want to navigate the COVID-19 pandemic and the return to play aspect of it, and during those 5 weeks, you avoid travel, you avoid contact with multiple teams. I thought that would be a possibility. It looks like they're well on their way to doing that. Right now, the NFLPA and the NFL, they're at a stalemate with canceling the final two preseason games that remain on the schedule right this minute. If you had to bet, man, do you think they end up playing preseason games or no?
I think zero. I think the owners are going to let them have this just because there aren't any fans in the stands. If fans could still go, they'd still have four. I mean, those are checks for the owners. But I think they'll take this one on the chin. I don't think we'll have preseason games. I really, really, really don't.
It's going to be interesting to see how it unfolds, because when we were talking about it earlier, I didn't even think about it. But if they start selling advertisements in those first, four rows of games, that could be really valuable even in the preseason, right? That could make up for a lot of the ticket sales. And so there's probably more dollars attached to the preseason games than we even realize. But when it's all said and done, this is the time to do what the NBA has done, what Major League Baseball has done, and whether we're talking about expanded rosters, whether we're talking about no fans, we're talking about bubble towns, we're talking about universal DHs, we're talking about putting a runner on second base, in inning games that last more than that are tied at the end of the ninth inning. I mean, those are all things that you experiment with in a weird time for your game, and then you can see what sticks, and you at least have something tangible to discuss when the season's over.
Yeah, and I also just wonder, like, how much. It seems like that the owners have control in the NFL, so I think it could be just like a small gesture where you just kind of say, well, y'all can have this, even if it's not as big of a thing and it's not as much of a sacrifice as it would appear to be. I think this could just be kind of like something they can keep in their pocket and say, we let y'all have this, even though it seems like a no-brainer. Going to be interesting, though. 65 days, by the way, Clint, till the Texans are in Kansas City against them Kansas City Chiefs. Landry Locker in for Ron the Show Hughley, along with Clint Sterner. Mike Florio joining the show in 20 minutes. Coming up, though, Clint said something yesterday that I want to elaborate on. I want to get some more meat off of this bone. Would you invest 10 years in Deshaun Watson's services the same way the Kansas City Chiefs did with Pat Mahomes. Let's discuss that next. Landry Locker in for Ron the Show Hughley along with Clint Sterner here on Sports Radio 610. Mike Florio joining us in about 15 minutes of pro football talk. Clint, you brought this up yesterday when Pat Mahomes signed his 10-year deal. You brought up the hypothetical, would you commit 10 years right now to Deshaun Watson, which would actually be 12 years because you have the 2 years remaining on the rookie deal, the final year along with the fifth-year option. I believe your answer, I might be paraphrasing, was somewhere along the lines of, hell bleeping yes, I absolutely would commit 10 to Deshaun.
Yeah, if I were the Texans organization, absolutely, I would be willing. But I've seen enough from Deshaun Watson to say, I am willing to commit long-term to this quarterback. Ultimately, it's after reading up on some of the Pat Mahomes contract stuff, it's not as blockbuster of a deal as some would think.
Well, isn't that crazy when you can take $500 million and you're doing your team a favor in doing so?
Yeah, I mean, if he plays lights out, the odds are that he's going to at some point. Now, there's obviously escalators isn't the right word, but there's like I think 2027 is a year where he'll make damn near $60 million. Right. And I don't know how he overcomes that. I don't know that the organization doesn't go to him and go, hey, man, we're going to restructure to spread some of this money out. And I would imagine that's the case. But ultimately, I mean, there's a good chance that besides 2 years in that over that 10-year period, there's 2 years in there where he's going to make an unbelievable amount of money. Odds are on the back end of it, he's going to have outplayed the money he's making that particular year. So it's one of those things where I don't know that the more we dig into it and the more details that emerge on this Pat Mahomes deal, that we don't realize it's about 80% of the time it's team friendly. I mean, it really is ultimately. And he's going to outplay the contract. So the more I dig into it, the more I go, well, hell, even more so today, if I were the Houston Texans, I would damn sure jump at signing Deshaun Watson. There is no doubt about it, Landry, when you look at what Deshaun brings, he's elite in the leader world. Like and I mean leader in a sense of the face of the franchise leader. I don't mean just leading the huddle. I mean, this guy's got, when you talk about leadership qualities and the ability to naturally take over a room and naturally, genuinely and sincerely lead, he's as good as any of the leaders ever in sports. I mean, he's one of those caliber guys. He's earned that. I'm not making that up. That's not a hot take. That's real talk. He's earned that. That doesn't walk through the door every day. You don't draft that every day. He can physically make every throw on the field, and the more difficult the throws are, the more elite he really is. He's obviously can make plays with his legs better than most. He's not Lamar Jackson, but he's better than 90% of the league with his legs. And so when you look at Deshaun Watson with some natural development in the pro-style offense that he just wasn't required of him in college, with that natural development, this guy is a top three, top five quarterback in this league sooner rather than later. And the odds of the Texans getting that right and finding that guy and the opportunity for them to have that guy as their quarterback, that opportunity doesn't come around every day. So, hell yes, if I were the Houston Texans, I would jump at the opportunity to land Deshaun Watson for a longer period of time than what has been rumored to be being negotiated, which was a 3-year deal on top of the two that he's got left. Yes, Lock Dog. I double down today, brother.
Landry Locker in for Ron the Show Hughley along with Clint Sterner. I think the people on the opposite end of this would bring up, well, how do we know Deshaun's still going to be himself, you know, 15 years into his NFL career, which is what a 10-year extension would be. It'd be a 15-year career. I mean, if you just look at some of the best quarterbacks of all time, Joe Montana played 16 years. You had Troy Aikman played 12, which is close to 15, but obviously he had the back and the concussions. Peyton Manning played 18. Brett Favre played 20. Tom Brady's
golly,
heading into
really, I forgot that 20.
20.
Good gosh.
Brady's heading into year 21. Phillip Rivers and Big Ben Roethlisberger are heading into year 17, and then you have Breeze going into his 20th. So, I mean, really, NFL quarterbacks for the most part, and some of these guys had injuries. A couple of them had torn ACLs, like Deshaun has. That's around the range in which they play. But you know this, Clint, it takes two to tango
from Deshaun Watson's perspective, would Deshaun Watson want to commit 10 years, or would he want to take everything that you just said into account and maybe try to get even more bread and just commit to the organization for, quote, 5 years with a 3-year extension? That's the other side of it from his perspective.
Yeah, I don't. I think it's hard for us, any of us, to. And we tried yesterday to wrap our head around what if the Texans throw a contract at Deshaun Watson where there's $300 million guaranteed. I don't know that Deshaun Watson, if he were to stay healthy, that he's not going to get $300 million guaranteed. Hell, Kirk Cousins is going to end up getting $3 million guaranteed over his career in contracts, right? And so I don't know that he has to give up all of his freedom, because ultimately, again, the way that I read the Pat Mahomes contract today, the things that I've seen, the back and forth, the articles, the numbers, the number crunching, is that ultimately the team has control of whether he's a Kansas City Chief or not, ultimately. Now they got to pay him a boatload of money to do it, but he still can't just up and go, hey guys, I want out at any point in time. I mean, he's got to be there, and a lot can change over a 12-year span. And so I just don't know that I don't look at Deshaun Watson's situation and go, look, you're going to end up receiving contracts over your career, if you stay healthy, upwards of $300 million guaranteed. You're going to end up getting those types of dollars guaranteed to you at some point in time. Get you a 3-year extension now with a heavy guarantee, big time guarantee, maybe even a max guarantee, and secure yourself for life, and then buckle up and get ready when that gambling money kicks in, that new TV money kicks in within the next 5 years, your next contract will be absolutely through the roof. I just don't know if I'm Deshaun Watson, Lock Dog, if I sit there right now and go, yeah, man, I'm going to sign up to be 10 more years with Tim Kelly. Yep, I'm going to sign up 10 more years with Bill O'Brien. Yep, I'm going to sign up for 10 more years with the guy that just shipped DeAndre Hopkins up out of here. I feel really good about that right there. I just don't know. I'm going to sign up for 10 more years with Bill O'Brien, who the national narrative is he's holding back my development and my essentially what I'm capable of doing on Sundays at the quarterback position. Yep, sign me up for 10 more. I don't think that thought is anywhere in Deshaun or his representation's mind right now. And I'm being harsh, obviously.
No. But, I mean, I think it's a fair question. I think it's 100,000% absolutely 100% a fair question. The only thing I would say is, if that was something that would make him, you know, have reservations about whether or not you wanted to sign a 10-year deal, I'll say this. Every single one of these players that I listed, the greats of the past, they played for multiple coaches. So if you're a franchise quarterback and you're that top dog, you're going to outlast the coach. Like, it's just that important of a position. I don't know if that would really stop him.
I would be interested in going down that list, because that's a damn good list.
I can go through it with you.
I want to know. I guess my point is
how many of those coaches were already great before?
Well, how many of them were literally surrounding that particular quarterback when they signed those long-term deals? What was the confidence level of each one of those quarterbacks that, hey, man, I'm in damn good hands. I got an organization that ain't scared to write a check. I got a GM or a head coach that knows how to go out and get the talent that I need. Like Troy Aikman. Troy Aikman was a great quarterback in a pro-style game.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know that Troy Aikman would have been Troy Aikman if he was in the Rams offense that Kurt Warner was spinning a rock around the park. Right? He was great at the pro-style run game, play action pass offense. He was great in that, and he was surrounded with the right people. I would be curious to know, go down that list and go, how many of those guys signed a multi-year deal, Lock Dog, with a former, 6 years ago, a guy that was a graduate assistant on the defensive side of the football for Bill O'Brien at Penn State? And again, well, I'm not knocking. No, Tim Kelly may be great. No, I'm just saying that's the reality of the situation.
Yeah, I mean, you have Montana obviously had Bill Walsh, who's one of the best offensive minds of all time, and then they ended up getting rid of him with Seifert. Aikman had Jimmy Johnson all the way through, and then They brought in Switzer and Shane.
Zampezi was in that mix originally.
Smoking cigarettes in the booth. Peyton Manning, he ended up getting Dungy early on, and they kind of stayed together, and then he went to Denver. Brett Favre, if he signed that lifetime deal, he had Holmgren, and then they brought in McCarthy, who was very well respected. Brady Belichick speaks for himself. And then you have Rivers with the multiple coaches, and Breeze is committed to Sean Payton. So, I mean, it does go to add to the other side of things that these guys did have great offensive minds, which goes back to what we talked about early on with Deshaun Watson. A lot of the stuff you don't control when it comes to reaching that ultimate pick. You need the right mix. So maybe that is something that he takes into account. I mean, it's interesting, but one thing's for sure, that dude's going to be rich as hell.
He's going to be cashing him, ain't he?
Extremely, extremely rich. Landry Locker in for Ron the Show Hughley along with Clint Sterner. Let's talk to Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk. There's a lot going on in the league, a lot going on around the league. There's talk that the owners want the players to report by July 20th. We'll ask him if that's true, and we'll get the latest on the stuff going on around the NFL next. Landry Locker in for Ron the Show Hughley along with Clint Sterner. We're going to be joined now by Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk. Mr. Florio, thank you so much for your time. There's been talk about the NFLPA wanting to eliminate preseason games. It's already been trimmed from 4 to 2. How likely do you think it is that that actually happens, that we don't see a preseason this year?
Well, there are so many different issues that the two sides currently are negotiating, and there's been a lot of reporting about what the NFLPA wants, a variety of things, no mandatory stays in hotels, no 11-on-11 activities all season long. There's a long list of things they want. The question is, which are the things they really want, and which are the things that are just negotiating fodder so they can give something up to get something? And I say that because I don't know whether the no preseason games is something they're just using to get something else or whether or not it's something they really want. But I'm starting to think it is something they really want because they keep pushing that issue and not necessarily the other ones. J.C. Treader, the union president, had a column today on the union website that specifically targeted the NFL's refusal to go with no preseason games and instead do a 48-day training camp that gets everyone ready for week one of the regular season. So I think they really want it. The problem is, you know, they signed the CBA after the pandemic started. There isn't a whole lot of leverage the NFLPA has here, but I think the NFL really wants to work with the players so they buy into whatever the rules are and they feel good about moving forward. So it's still to be determined. The league wants the two preseason games, but it doesn't look like the union's giving up. And whatever the decision, they need to figure it out pretty soon.
Mike, when I look at this, man, I can't help but I see the back and forth, you know, between the NFLPA and already on some of it on social media with some different players. I mean, is this something that we're gonna have to witness get to the point that Major League Baseball and the Major League Baseball Players Association, their negotiation did the way they just did it all in the public eye, a lot of it via social media? Surely we're not going towards that route, are we?
Well, you know, it's funny, back in March, we were talking about whether or not there would be ratification of a CBA that would give us 11 years of labor peace. And now here we are looking at a potential work stoppage, not as a result of traditional labor issues, because the two sides can't come to an agreement on what the rules will be in this pandemic season. And if push came to shove, I firmly believe that the NFL could say, we have the right to set the rules. And if you don't believe that we're giving you a safe workplace and you want to run the risk of launching a wildcat strike based on your belief that the workplace isn't safe, go ahead. But if you guess wrong, it's going to be very expensive. And here's the other reality, too. We know what happens if the players strike. Not all of them leave, and the ones who do leave are quickly replaced by others who are more than happy to comply with whatever rules the NFL puts forth. But I think the NFL is trying to avoid that kind of acrimony, because at the end of the day, what they really need is the players to be fully on board with everything that they put in place at the facility, on the practice field, being honest about their symptoms, being responsible when they go home at night and not going out and doing things that could get them positive for the virus. So this is where it's delicate. It's not so much an issue of labor strife. It's an issue of making sure that your workforce is all in with ensuring that you're going to have a full season. And if you get these guys upset, and maybe they're not going to be as careful as they would be, then the whole thing's going to collapse on itself. And I think that's what the NFL is trying to avoid. Not so much the players being upset and players possibly some of them going out on strike, but the players not being as careful as they need to be to keep from having what could be an outbreak that would start shutting down teams like we saw in the MLS and potentially shut down the full season.
Well, let's be honest, Mike. I mean, since that's specifically what you talked about, I mean, the Brady situation with the workouts where he just totally ignored the advisement of the PA to stop the coordinated workouts until training camp starts. And now, I mean, I think the last couple of days I've read something about where Lamar Jackson's going to have his whatever his event is that includes some kind of flag football and something else, a big event. Down in Florida where it appears to be a hotbed for COVID-19. I mean, those can't be good looks in terms of the NFLPA and essentially the players gaining the confidence of the NFL in terms of believing that they're gonna abide by some kind of guidelines in order to stay healthy.
Yeah, you know, the good news is Lamar Jackson is canceling that event. Now, I'm not sure whether it was the team, the union, teammates, family members, whoever.
Got it.
But he realized this isn't a responsible thing to do. But you're hitting the nail right on the head. Can the NFL truly have faith in the ability and willingness of players to know how to behave in a pandemic? And let's broaden the lens. Let's look around. Do we have faith in anyone on a widespread basis that we know how to properly behave during a pandemic? We're the one country in the world where it's just run roughshod. You know, you look at the Premier League in England and the Bundesliga German soccer league, they're pulling off their sports without a hitch because in their countries, in their communities, they have it under control. So when you have these guys out and about possibly making poor decisions, possibly realizing when maybe they have symptoms, I heard from one team where there was a guy and they hammered it into them every day. Here are the things to be on the lookout for. Here's what you need to know that if you're experiencing any of this, you need a test. A guy went a week without being able to taste before he finally said to somebody, hey, should I get tested? Well, they were telling him every day, this is one of the things that you need to be on the lookout for. So that's the concern, that the players aren't going to be able or willing to do everything that needs to be done to keep the facilities clean, to keep the virus off of a practice field or a game field, and to avoid an outbreak that is going to start canceling games, and before you know it, the season just falls apart, and they just throw their hands up and say, we can't do this.
Talking to Mike Florio here on Sports Radio 610 of Pro Football Talk, I want to talk about the Pat Mahomes contract yesterday. Obviously a record-setting deal. What from player perspective and from team perspective, what do you make of this deal? Because I had John McClain on with me earlier today, and he was basically saying that Mahomes really, if you look at it, left a lot of meat on the bone to where, yes, you look at this and say that's a lot of money, but he doesn't know that it was in the best interest of maximizing his earning potential for him to sign this 10-year deal. How do you look at that deal from the player's perspective and the team perspective?
Well, and remember, it's a 10-year deal, but it's tacked on to the 2 years that he already had left. So it is a 12-year commitment. It was jarring to me. When I heard that it was a deal through 2031, my first thought was, well, he's the first guy to get a guaranteed percentage of the salary cap. So every year, no matter what the market does, no matter what the salary cap does, he's protected. If it goes up to $500 million, he's getting 17% or whatever the number was going to be. But a specific percentage of the cap every year. That's the only way you can justify doing a deal that long into the future. And then it turns out that's not what he did. What he did was sign away his rights for 12 seasons where, you know, you can say he made the commitment to the Chiefs, but the reality is it's a one-way commitment. We've been down this road so many times over the past few years talking about how the contracts aren't guaranteed. The team can rip them up whenever they want. The player can't rip up the contract. The players' rights are limited as to what they can and can't do to try to get a new deal if they're not happy with the contract. And Mahomes is locked in at a new money rate of $45 million. Now, look, that's $10 million more than Russell Wilson. The cash flow is not very good the first 4 years. Ryan Tannehill's deal with the Titans pays out more for the first 4 years. But over the life of the contract, if he keeps playing well enough and the Chiefs decide to keep him around, and let's face it, there's no reason to think he's going to not be a great player unless he has an accumulation of injuries that ultimately affect his abilities. But the point is, they have control for 12 years, and at some point in the next 12 years, the salary cap is going to be at a point, the quarterback market's going to be at a point where Patrick Mahomes is getting woefully underpaid, and the question is, will the Chiefs, when they have no obligation to do so, Will they rip up the contract and take care of Mahomes if it gets to that point? Maybe they will, but there's nothing that requires them to do it. And it was funny yesterday. I'm sure you guys heard the story about how the story broke with
the liquor store manager
buy champagne.
Yeah.
There's a reason they were going to buy the champagne. It wasn't Mahomes going to buy the champagne. Not that he should be upset with the deal. I mean, that's the thing. It's hard to criticize it because it really is a significant contract. But we're talking about one of the greatest players in league history already. And on the track that he's on, he potentially is going to be one of the best players of all time. He needs a contract that reflects that. And other than a big headline where his agent can say it's the first $500 million contract in league history, and technically it's not, other than that, it doesn't have the kinds of bells and whistles that you look for. And agents for other quarterbacks are now looking at this and saying, we're going to have to deal with this when we try to get contracts for our clients.
Speaking of other quarterbacks, there's one here in Houston that I think is next in line. If it's not him, it's Dak in Dallas. So both of them are in Texas. Talk to us a little bit about Watson, man. I mean, I think word on the street was that he was working for a 3-year deal that would have been tacked on to the 2 years that he has remaining. How does this impact a Deshaun Watson negotiation? Do you think this is a situation where all of a sudden these quarterbacks start looking for 8 to 10 year deals, or do you think it starts trending in the direction of the shorter deal so they can cash in more times throughout their career than just the one time?
I think it's going to be the teams, guys, that are looking for the longer-term deals. They're going to be the ones that take this and say, well, who do you think you're better than Patrick Mahomes? You're good enough for Patrick Mahomes. You think you're better than him? You're not better than him. Not that that would ever be negotiated specifically that way, but when the guy who's the best quarterback right now in football does a 12-year contract, it makes it harder for Deshaun Watson to get a 3-year contract. But it's always in the player's interest. Unless the deal is fully guaranteed, start to finish, which teams aren't going to do if it's a long-term deal, you want a shorter-term deal. Russell Wilson does 4-year extensions. Deshaun Watson wants a 3-year extension, as you mentioned. Shorter term is better because the more times you get back to the trough during the course of your career, the more money you're going to make because the cap is going to keep going up, the numbers are going to keep improving, and you want to have more cracks at getting not necessarily to free agency because it's difficult for a franchise quarterback to ever get to free agency, but look, it's not unprecedented. Kirk Cousins did it. But if you keep putting the team in a position where they have to renegotiate and they're facing franchise tags and they're facing the 20% bump on the second year of a franchise tag and that third-year nightmare that Washington eventually faced with Cousins, that's how you keep getting better and better and better contracts. So I think that if Deshaun Watson does 12 years with the Texans in the form of 4 3-year extensions, he's going to end up with more money at the end of the day than Patrick Mahomes is going to have if he does the full 12 years of his deal with the Chiefs.
Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk joining us on Sports Radio 610. Mike, what about I keep hearing people talk about the sports betting, the gambling money that'll be there, the TV money that'll be there in, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 years. And we've heard about it with Dak. We've heard about it with Deshaun Watson. We heard about it with Laremy Tunsil, just signed a 3-year extension. I mean, obviously I know what they're talking about, but what do those numbers look like? Because people are talking about them like they're going to be so much. There's going to be such a huge increase that these guys are crazy to not contractually allow themselves to cash in as many times as possible. What do you think those numbers are going to look like?
Well, nobody knows specifically what's going to happen, and we're dealing with this short-term reality of the pandemic taking away $3 billion in ticket sales and associated revenue this year, and if they lose part of the season, you're going to lose a big chunk of the TV money, and the salary cap may go down next year, although I think before the salary cap ever goes down, what they would do is borrow against future caps to keep it more smooth because teams aren't going to want to have to cut half their roster. But at some point, the clouds are going to part. The pandemic's going to be over. The new TV money is going to kick in. And I think once the pandemic ends, what we're going to see is an acceleration of legalized gambling and legalized marijuana, because that's going to be the way that states can make money to rebuild their budgets post-pandemic. So states that were already going to have legalized gambling, you're going to see it faster. States that were never going to have it are now going to have it. And that's just more money that's going to go into the NFL's coffers. And nobody knows what the sky is on there, that how far it's going to go. But
you know, we can see salary cap $300 million, $350 million. We've seen it keep going up and up and up. When it first started back in the early 90s, I think it was $41 million or thereabouts per team. Now it's at $200 million. So because of the uncertainty and because of the historical growth, you don't want to tie yourself to certain numbers and then hope that the team will take care of you if it comes down to it. Because here's the thing, and you know, this is where the ego of the player comes into play. Patrick Mahomes is not going to be inclined in a few years to say my deal stinks, right? Because your first step, if you go down that path, is to admit you screwed up and you shouldn't have signed that contract. Now, maybe he's taking a leap of faith that the Chiefs will honor, even though they're not required to, where they will tear up the deal and they will take care of it. If Andy Reid's still the head coach, then maybe that's likely to happen. But a lot can change in 12 years, and without having that certainty, yeah, I'd rather do three-year, four-year contracts so we can see where we are from a cap standpoint and a revenue standpoint. And, you know, I want to get through the pandemic and get to the other side before anyone can really know how much money is going to be out there. And I think that Deshaun Watson's handling it the right way. Dak Prescott's handling it the right way. He only wants to do a four-year deal. I guarantee you, if the Cowboys took the Patrick Mahomes contract right now and scratched out Chiefs and put in Cowboys, scratched out Patrick Mahomes and put in Dak Prescott and put it on the table and said, here's your final offer for next Wednesday when the window closes on long-term deals for franchise tag players, Dak Prescott would say no thank you.
Oh, wow. Man, Mike Florio with us, Pro Football Talk here on Sports Radio 610. Mike, I want to get you out of here on this, and we appreciate the time. Less than 10 weeks away from the first Sunday of the season, God willing, it's owners, players, yourself, media types, they're shuffling like crazy. Is Dan Snyder going to have to go through everything that everyone else is going through and change his name, his team name, in 10 weeks? Do you think that's going to happen?
You know, there's an article in the Washington Post talking about how difficult it is to change a name, change a brand, how much time it takes, all the little things you have to do, secure trademark rights, change your programs, change everything. It's not an easy process, but this is the debt that you accrue when you dig in your heels like a child in 2013, when people start to make excellent points about how language has evolved to a point where it is a dictionary-defined slur. The name needs to go. He said, I'll never change it. Put that in all caps 7 years ago, and he waited until a reckoning where his sponsors demanded it. Retailers won't sell the merchandise. The league is leaning on him to do it. His coach has basically gone rogue and has made it clear it's going to happen. Hey, you got to do it at this point. You can't say, well, you know what? We've decided it's impractical under the circumstances to change the name before the start of the season. So let's just get through this season. Everybody deal with the racial slur that we now acknowledge is the name of the team. We'll take care of that in January. No, this is what happens when you wait 7 years and you refuse for 7 years to do what you should have done 7 years ago, and you got to move quickly. So,
man,
Ron Rivera has said they got a couple names they like, and it isn't all that hard. When you have an army of lawyers at your disposal, it's not all that hard to get the trademarks filed. It isn't all that hard to cross the T's and dot the I's. And I think there will be a new name for that team before the season begins. I hope we find out. I hope a season begins so we can find out whether or not there's a new name for the Washington franchise.
Mike, real quick, also outside of Houston, man, Cam Newton in New England. I don't think we've had you on to get your response to him being there and what the future looks like for him and the Patriots. What's your just overall view on Cam Newton as a Patriot?
Well, I'm fascinated by the fact that the Patriots were able to keep under wraps their interest in Cam Newton. No one believed that Bill Belichick wanted him. And if the league had believed that Bill Belichick wanted him, he wouldn't have been available in late June for Bill Belichick to sign for a bargain basement contract. And that's one thing that stuns me. You're bringing a guy to potentially be your starting quarterback, and the most he's going to make is $7.5 million. For most teams, you know, there's kind of a sense like when Phillip Rivers became the quarterback of the Colts. You got to give him $25 million a year because he's got to have respect when he walks into the locker room. And if you're paying him $12 million, the players may not respect him as the starting quarterback. Well, Cam Newton doesn't need that. And Bill Belichick doesn't need to give that. Cam Newton is a guy who's going to come in, and if he's healthy, he's going to take over that team. He's going to make the Patriots better. He's going to diversify the offense. And, you know, the one thing about all the uncertainty that's happening during the pandemic, and I had an item over the weekend about how coaches and GMs don't know what the rules are going to be and they're frustrated by it. I think the one guy
that will roll with the punches unlike anyone else and come up with plans on the fly that will work whenever he finds out what the rules are, even if it's the night before the first game, it's Bill Belichick. And I think that this post-Tom Brady existence of the Patriots, you throw Cam Newton onto the fire, if he's healthy, this team has the potential to be pretty good this year. And the more chaos and uncertainty there is, the better off the Patriots are going to be.
Mike, we appreciate you very much for hopping on. Thank you so much for the time.
All right, good talking to you guys.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. I mean, you talk about somebody who never stops working. I mean, the way that he archives the league and has the league covered and all that, it's next level.
It's unbelievable.
You can ask him about anything. You could ask him about the kicking battle somewhere.
It's unbelievable how quickly he turns the information and puts it into an article, obviously, that he's writing in his opinion. I mean, it's just the turn is crazy. It's one thing to know something a little sooner than the next guy, but to have it turned in an article and on TV that quick is good. Mike does a good job.
It's an archive. I mean, it's the ultimate archive of America's game, which I can very much appreciate it. Landry Locker in for Ron the Show, Hughley along with Clint Sterner here on Sports Radio 610. Let's get hot, man. Let's get hot. That 5 o'clock fire coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.